today on Real Radio.
What must I do to be saved? The greatest question in the world. What must I do to be saved? Everybody's asking that question around the world because everybody knows deep inside their hardened heart, is heaven real and is hell real? Am I going to go there or not? Is God real? Am I going to be judged? Everybody's got that fear in their heart. That's what makes the gospel a universal message.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Seeing God's Hand at Work, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their passion was that all would come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, this includes Lydia, a wealthy and influential woman who worshiped God and who was converted to Christianity by Paul. Lydia then went on to begin the first church in Europe in the city of Philippi. In the message called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered from Acts chapter 16, verses 11 through 19, we saw how Paul went through many unusual experiences when he returned to Philippi. Through Lydia, he changed his view about women in the church, and through a woman possessed by spirits who uses flattery to tempt him, he proves himself not only faithful, but also delivers her from bondage. Now, in verses 19 through 40, we'll see how God continues to move in radical ways when Paul and Silas are beaten and thrown into prison for freeing the slave girl, who no longer was useful to her master. It tells us that Paul's focus was on saving the captain of the jail. And when this hardcore jailer is converted to Christ by Paul, he invites them to his house where he dresses their wounds and where he and all of his family believe in God and are baptized. And now, continuing his lesson called Seeing God's Hand at Work, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul phoned him. It's the first 911 call recorded in the Bible. You've got it right here. Paul says, hey, don't. One man who's a hardened jailer. You didn't have, you know, your slide rule computer nerd be a prison guard. You had tough guys. There's some prison guards who go to church here. They're tough guys. This guy's tough. And he's in the inner chamber. These guys in the inner chamber, they're in prison because they're going to go to death. How do you know that? He pulled out his sword to kill himself. If your prisoner escapes, you were to fulfill their sentence in Rome. That's Roman law. So that's why he was going to kill himself. This is a hard man. Harder than you are. Tougher than you are. Stronger than you are. Bigger than you are. So what's your excuse? I can't come to Christ. It's a sissy thing. I see all you guys hugging each other. Talk about love. This guy's tough. Remember our mission in life? There was this little guy in Russia that smelled so bad. He was kind of deformed. And he followed me everywhere I went. And I saw some of the other Russians even treating him kind of rude. And I just thought, gosh, when I'm near this guy, I don't even want to get near me. He smells so bad. He could hardly talk. And the day that we were leaving, he's bawling. He's just bawling. And it just really killed me because there's just stuff flowing down his face. And some people started laughing. It was just bad. And I just... You know that guy out of the whole trip, I can't get that guy out of my mind. Maybe I'm not supposed to. But the thing is, he could hardly understand me. And I was just, the whole thing is, do you know Jesus? Do you know the Lord? And he's trying to tell me yes. And finally, my heart was rest assured because when he opened his Bible, it had marks in it. He's marking up his Bible. He'd spent time there. And that's important to me. But remember our mission is to go out and get them. Jesus said, go out into the world and preach the gospel, Matthew 28, 19. He didn't say, hey, tell the world to come over here. No, you go get them. And this guy is tough. This jailer drove a black donkey and he had a rifle rack on the back, I bet. He's a bad guy. And Paul went after him. I love that. And he asked the greatest question in the world, verse 30. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, my imagination thinks like this. Why did he ask that question? What must I do to be saved? Did he perceive that others around him were getting saved? I think so. What was going on? Doors swinging open, people set free. Could have been a natural event. Who cares? Something's going on for this hardened man to say, "Wait a minute, what must I do to be saved?" The greatest question in the world. What must I do to be saved? Everybody's asking that question around the world because everybody knows deep inside their hardened heart, is heaven real and is hell real? Am I going to go there or not? Is God real? Am I going to be judged? Everybody, I don't care who that is, everybody's got that fear in their heart. That's what makes the gospel a universal message. Man's need. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" Are you careful? Listen. What must I do to be saved? The greatest question in the world. And our answer is, apply for church membership. Pledge a vow, $50 a month. Fill out a card. We'll see if you're able and worthy to join our denomination. May God have mercy on the inventors of such things. Yesterday, the Mormons pedaled their bikes by my house. They don't stop at my house anymore. They don't stop at my house. I wish they would. I'm not kidding. They don't stop. They just go next door. I'm going to adopt a new evangelism technique. I'm going to start running after them. And I always want to immediately. How about you? Immediately. My mind defaults to Ephesians 2, 5 and 2, 8, 9. If you don't know it, jot it down. I'll quote it exactly. "Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Free. How or what must I do to be saved?" Are you ready? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." If you're a legalist, that rubs you the wrong way. I believe in deathbed conversions. I believe when a thief is hanging on a cross and he looks at Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Oh my gosh, get him off the cross, baptize him. Have him give some money. Let's get this man saved. No, leave him there. He's better there with Jesus than he is in your church having to work his way in. It's wrong. There's a great story of a British general in the army. The British army. General. He said to the chaplains in his army, he said, "A man has been shot. He's got 60 seconds. And he's going to die. What are you going to tell him? How does he come to Christ?" And based upon their response, he accepted them or rejected them as being a chaplain. And you know what text he used as his standard? Right here. If that chaplain said, "To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," he says, "Far out, come on. You're ready to go to war." Christian, for you to be ready to go to war, you better have your theology straight. And your theology straight is Jesus Christ, believing in him, saves a man from hell. But our human nature says, "Be good, be right, tithe, be in the choir, do this and the other." No, it doesn't. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." The word in the Greek is pisteo. It means to cling to him, to trust in him, to rely on him. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you relying on him? Then you're saved. "Well, I don't feel saved." I don't care how you feel, quite honestly. You're saved. Salvation's not a feeling. Salvation's a fact. Acts 2:21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Isn't that wonderful news? I love it. Watch what happens to this converted man, and we'll go quickly. Verse 32. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. That's discipleship. And to all who were in his house. That's his family. And he took them, verse 33, note the progression. And he took them. That is, the jailer took them that same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes, and immediately he and all of his family were baptized. It means they all believed. Doesn't mean infant baptism either. They had to come to understanding that they were sinners. They're probably an older family. Watch the progression. Verse 30, what must I do to be saved? You see that? Verse 31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Verse 32, they discipled him. Verse 33, he becomes a minister. He becomes a servant. That's how it's supposed to be. And listen, if you don't like this, I want you to think about it, because I think the Lord gave it to me and I jotted it down. It makes sense to me. We're talking about seeing the hand of God, and I thought about God's hand on us, fingerprints of God. I thought about this. If you're saved but you're never discipled, you'll be a carnal Christian. You won't know how to walk and where to walk. You're saved, but you're carnal. You're struggling. You're living more in the world than out of the world. But if you're saved and discipled, but you never serve anyone, or you never step out and minister, then you're going to become stagnant, fat, and dead. You'll have everything in your head, but it's ministry that takes it down and puts it in your heart. But if you're saved, discipled, and serving, you'll be serving others that are around you that Jesus has asked you to serve, and you will grow leaps and bounds, and your joy will be limitless. Even if you're beat up and flogged. And then finally, this, verses 35 to 40, we need to seize the opportunities of our lives. Every one of us has a situation going on right now. I don't want to embarrass anybody. Please don't raise your hand. But if all the Christians were to raise their hands right now, each of us could stand up and say that we have a situation going on in our lives. Please listen, and we'll be done. If you have a situation in your life, is God's hand on you? Are you in the will of God? Be careful, because your mind starts to think, well, I'm trying the best I can. I didn't ask you that. Are you a Christian? Yes. God's will for your life is to give thanks in every situation to Him. I don't care what your situation is and what your opportunities are or the lack thereof. God's in your life. He's working it out. And it's a beautiful thing. And I want to end with this. Look at verse 40. Just skip down. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. Hey, she got saved a couple of days ago. She's a rich lady. She has a home in Thyatira and in Philippi. She was a textile salesperson. We know that for a fact. She was wealthy. She had servants. We know from history that her house became the first church in Europe. So they went out of the prison and they entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Oh, wait a minute. I want to end with this, but listen carefully. You got a rich woman, people coming into her house. Classy girl, Lydia. The church is growing. You got an ex-Satanist teenager in her house that was delivered from a python spirit. You've got a hardened, roughneck jailer now set free coming into the house. And maybe those criminals that were in the prison with him. Can you imagine? Lydia, hi, it's Paul. Paul, come on in. Well, okay, but you know what? I've got Fred and Barney and... Come on in. And she's seeing these guys come through. Man, they got tattoos on them. They got spears. Hey, praise the Lord! I could just see it now. Paul goes out front over Lydia's house. Hammers a sign in the front. Calvary Chapel, Philippi. Right across the front. And I thought about that. What a fun potluck this group must have made. Lydia's in there in her purple from Thyatira, and here's Barney the jailer. And I thought about this church. By the time third service comes to an end, there will be in this church murderers who have done their time and they're out. There's people in this service who were drug addicts and pushers. There's people in this service who were, I won't look too long at you, who were prostitutes. There's some of you who were practicing extortion. There were some of you who lived for yourself. There were some of you who were so righteous you didn't need Jesus Christ at all. And look at you now. What a potluck it makes. Lydia sitting there and the big guys come in and here comes a little ex-Satanist 14-year-old girl and all of a sudden the body of Christ comes together and there's fellowship the way it ought to be because Jesus is in the forefront, and that just absolutely blows our mind and blesses our hearts. And for the last 7 weeks, I'm telling you this to get ready. For the last 7 weeks, there's been on Wednesday nights, maybe even on Sundays, I'm not aware of it yet, but there's been a ministry that we've been helping out called Transport for Christ. I wasn't aware about it before. And the leader of this group is now starting to come to church here. And they are ministering to truck drivers that are on the road at the big truck stop over here off the 10 freeway. And you know what's happened? We just made a bundle of tapes, and they just got a hold of me Wednesday night, and they said, we're out of tapes. We need more tapes. The drivers are eating them up and going across country listening to the tapes. We've got people now coming to service, and they want to get more tapes. So, guys, we need more tapes. The precious thing is, there's a guy that came in. He's not a Christian. He came in on a Wednesday night, and he dug it. He loved it. He said, well, it's pretty cool. He didn't say, well, I'm absolutely, totally blessed by being here. He doesn't know how to talk like a hypocrite like us. He said, man, this is neat. He gave me his address. Can you start having these tapes sent to my wife who waits for me at home? We're going to start seeing. They asked, where can we park our rigs on Wednesday nights? I saw the parking guys go, oh no, oh no, oh no. They're supposed to start parking out on Telephone Avenue. So there may be people coming through this door that look just like this Philippian jailer. And I'm excited. Let's pray. Lord, you are too good to us. Not really. Lord, we want you to keep doing your thing. But God, there's a way that you walk with us. There's a way you look at us. There's a way you speak that just causes our hearts to flutter when we look at you through the eye of faith. We're so grateful, God, that the Christian experience, nothing in this world can parallel it. It's exciting. It's dangerous. It's fulfilling. It's constantly changing us. What a wonderful ride it is, Lord, with you. Your Bible covering thousands of years and going through so much to tell us that you love us, it all comes down to one person. That person, if they would believe in Jesus Christ, the Christ Jesus of the Bible, they'd be saved. Thank you. It's that simple. And while we're praying now, Christian, be in prayer. Maybe that's you this morning. You want to receive Christ. And you've had all these barriers and all of these block walls and all this stuff. And the message is, believe. If you truly mean it from your heart, you see the responsibility is on you. If you're sincere from your heart, He will come in. He will change you. Some of it may be instantly. You may feel something or not feel something. Some of your change might take place 10 years from now, but He'll move in. If you'd like to receive Christ this morning, why don't you slip your hand up right now and I'll see your hand, and you can just put your hand right back down, and I'm going to ask you later to go to a the prayer room and get a brand new Bible. Raise your hand so I can see it. I see us there. God bless you in the back. You can put your hand down. And you. You can put your hand down. You're giving your life to Jesus. You're going to believe in Him. He'll do the work. Anyone else in these last moments, you want to come to Christ. You want to receive Him. The Bible says you're either for Him or against Him. So you may be in prison right now and you think you're free. You're in prison because of pain or a lack of forgiveness or anger or pride or whatever. And you think you can drive around and fly around and do around, but yet inside you are bound and you're a criminal, held captive. And you want to be freed this morning. Why don't you slip your hand up and receive Jesus Christ and be set free. Father, we pray for these who have given their lives to You today. They simply are saying, Jesus, I believe in You. Lord, by them agreeing with this little prayer offered, all they have to do is agree, is that they're asking You in now. They're understanding that they have sins that need to be forgiven. And they're saying, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, Your word is believe. And so, Father, not based on any formula, but between You and that individual, Lord, I introduce them to You. And I thank You, God, that You do the rest. In Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Seeing God's Hands at Work. Thanks for listening. And as you can see, all of heaven is influenced by those who worship and pray. And the question is, are you today a believer? Seeing God's Hand at Work is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, by the way, if you've made a decision for Christ and you need some help or you just want to talk to someone about it, head on over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click the contact tab. We would love to get in touch with you. We'd like to have some contact with you, get somebody in touch that can help you in your walk with Christ. Again, if you've just made a decision for Christ, or maybe you need some hand-holding along the way, that's not a problem. Get a hold of us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, when God caused the earthquake, it shook the jail with such force that it released all the prisoners, not just Paul and Silas. Now, you'd think that they would all immediately run for the front door, right? Well, they were all in terrible physical pain and probably starving. Still, they were so drawn to the prayers of Paul that they paused and waited for his next move. But Paul's intent was for all of them to be saved, including their jailer, who had caused them much of the torment. And God is still interested in all of our souls today, no matter what we've done in the past. So if you're longing for an encounter with God, but you really don't know how to get there, Pastor Jack has a No God tab at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. The No God tab, that's spelled K-N-O-W, not only gives you the gospel message, but it brings to light what salvation really means and what to do from there on in your commitment to Christ. And if you're already a believer, it provides an excellent resource for sharing the gospel message with others. Again, it's called the No God tab, and it's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to donate, you can do so at Real Life with Jack Hibbs on the app, or just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you'd like to write this down, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.